lot of things take place in our lives in the month of December. It seems like there's not one more thing we can do, right? And so, and a lot of times those things cause us to, in our celebration of Christ's birth, it has a tendency maybe to overshadow that a little bit. And so my desire in this month is to be that voice in our life that says, wait a minute, let's consider Christ. Let's consider His birth. I don't want you to give up on those other things, because I think that we are people that can enjoy many things at one time. But I want us to be that voice that says, wait a minute, this is about the birth of Christ. And what are some things that I can learn about the birth of Christ? If we're not careful, when it comes down to our celebration of Christ's birth, our celebration of Christmas, we think, okay, I'm going to read the Christmas story. And so we picked up with the angels announcing it to the shepherds. And in the next couple of weeks, we will read all of Luke chapter 2 as we break it up in pieces. But what are some things that I can see in the Christmas dialogue, things for me that would challenge my life at a time such as this? And so if there's a handout sheet if you care to follow along. And what we have several verses here. If you look at verse 19 again in Luke chapter 2, it says this. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so everything that took place, it says, the Bible says that Mary thought about them. That's what the word ponder means, doesn't it? It's just like, okay, you know, sometimes I ponder whether I want my insurance to go up if I run into the guy in front of me because he didn't ponder. And so that's pondering, right? You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, I ponder whether or not, you know, I want to ruin my testimony and have my name in the paper for, you know, pushing some guy out of line, that running line ahead of me. And then sometimes we ponder what we're going to do. I, right now, you're pondering what you're going to have for lunch, I'm sure. It's just like, okay, where am I going, okay? So when we say we're pondering, we're thinking about it, right? Correct? That's what we're doing. Now, I want you to go down to verse 33. And now, we're going ahead here a little bit. And so, Joseph and Mary brought the infant to the temple to present him to the Lord. And we see that, of course, Simeon says some pretty incredible things. Well, let's go back up to verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now notice this. Now we bring Joseph into the picture. And Joseph and his mother, what did they do? They marveled. They marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Okay? Now we have Mary thinking about these things. We have Joseph and Mary marveling about these things, which takes an avenue of thought, correct? Trying to establish something here. And then, as we go to the end of the chapter in verse 51, we find now that the Lord Jesus Christ is a young boy. And they were just spent the time in Jerusalem, and they were heading back to Nazareth, and Jesus stayed behind. You say, now how could that be, okay? If you come to church here, and you leave your child here, we'll call you. Now I know you find that a stretch of the imagination. And I hope Scott Marr goes on the internet. He's the head deacon up at Bakerburg Community Church. And when he first started coming to Bakerburg Community Church, I think that they brought either five or six children. And one time they came back because they left their daughter there. And he said, I bet you think we're horrible parents. I said, no, you're just busy like everybody else. But if you leave your child here, we will call you, right? But they didn't have cell phones then. And so the Bible says that they traveled, and they traveled together as a huge family. And so they just figured that Jesus was with them. Well, when they found out he wasn't with them, they hightailed it back to Jerusalem, right? And in verse Oh, Nazareth, I'm sorry. And he came down. Let me back up here. Okay. Let's, verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Which, that probably is a pretty good emotion going on right there. You lose your son, you know. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And probably because they were mad. You know, so like when I was a little boy, if I got lost, my mom, she would look for me, and I thought it was interesting, because I think she only looked at me to beat me. She was glad that I was alive, but then she put my life in peril. Right? And so maybe they weren't listening. I digress here a little bit, but I mean, can you folks that have had young people, you can agree with that, can't you? Okay? And maybe there's a reason why they didn't really understand what he was saying. A lot of emotions here in this passage. But now look at this. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Here we have another reference in what we call the classic Christmas dialogue. You have three references to thinking about these things. Okay? Now, what I want us to do today is I want us to, first of all, realize that many times these passages are just read over very quickly. And we don't really stop and look at that side of the diamond, okay? We don't look at that facet of it. So what are some lessons for my life that I can learn by looking at this aspect of the birth of Christ? Well, number one is this, is Joseph and Mary trusted that God knew exactly what he's doing, and they were okay with that. Now you say, okay, what are you talking about? Well, let's consider what are some of the things that Joseph and Mary were pondering and thinking about. Okay? Wouldn't that be a good place to start? Because they thought about something. What did they think about? Well, what had happened up to this point? An angel appears to Mary as she's just espoused to Joseph, and he says, you're going to have a baby. And she, and you know the dialogue. She said, well, how could that be? I've never known a man. And then he says, and then as I was reading it to refresh my memory, I find it very interesting. The angel says, well, your cousin who is old, and, you know, do you ever read what I think it's Zachariah said about that? Is she was old and well-stricken, right? So she was well-stricken. She was old. That means she was past the childbearing years. And so watch this. The angel says, well, you know what? It's pretty amazing what's going to happen to you, but your cousin, she's going to have a baby too. Okay, so that took place. She goes to visit her cousin. Her cousin and her rejoice in what God is doing in their life. Now, ladies, now think about this. Here you are. You are engaged to be married. Now, I know the espousal thing is a little bit different than what we call our engagement. I understand that, and I'm not going to explain all that today. But you had to go to the person that you are going to be wed to and say, oh, by the way, I'm with child. Boy, that would really make for a great, you head on down here, you maybe go down on to Jay's for supper, and you say, oh, honey, I got an announcement for you. Guess what? I'm going to have a baby. But now, watch this. Now, Joseph is marveling at the things, right, that he has seen and heard. So what has he heard? Well, he's heard that the woman that is his wife is having a child, and they've never consummated the marriage yet. Oh, okay. And God comes to him in a dream and says, okay, Joseph, it's okay. So those are some of the things that took place, right? And then they had the passage that I skipped over today because I didn't want you to throw anything is, you know, they were going to have a taxing time. You know, April 15th was showing up. And they all had to go back to their house of lineage, and there they were. And here's this woman, great with child. Now, you know, I've never had a baby. Most people think that I'm ready to have one, but I've got to get a girl here and stuff like that. But I know this, is that when you are great with child, you are very uncomfortable. Correct, lady? You got me on this, right? Okay. As a matter of fact, they call it waddling. Right? After a while, they waddle. You okay, yeah. See, us guys, we're all sitting here going, what's he talking about that for? They don't care. You know, they're just, they years ago, you had to look through the glass. That one's mine. Right? Right? That's what you had to do. They had the glass. Now, man, now they have a steak rooms for you, steak dinner before you go home, and the whole deal. Man, when we were there, you went down to the cafeteria, ate some dried up sandwich. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Where am I? Okay, I'm in church. We're talking about great with child. So she rides down to Bethlehem on a donkey, right? Right? Okay. Now, ladies, let me ask you something. That probably wouldn't have been real comfortable, right? Okay. Okay. Yeah. I can see that now. You call the ambulance, come to my wife's having a baby. They show up with the donkey. What are you doing? Going down 11:15 on a donkey. But anyways, I'm sorry. My mind just goes that way, okay? I'm sorry. So, and then, watch this. They get down there, and now there's no room. There's no room in the inn, right? Can you imagine? This is what you would call the typical bad day. What do? You show up, knock, oh, I will fall off. Okay, yeah, okay. But there's a place over here, has a stable attached to it. That's open. So they end up going, and she has her child, and here it is, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as Isaiah proclaims, is laid in a feeding trough for an animal, right? Okay, now what am I doing? I'm talking about everything that took place, and you know what? All of you know that. Now, you've never heard my commentary on, so now today you got my commentary on. Every time you hear someone having a birth, you're going to wonder if they rode in on a donkey. You know, can you imagine going down to the local fire company here? Where do you keep the donkeys? Because Pastor Dave says you're going to start doing that. Okay. But anyway, so now here's what they do. Now, let's look at the point again. Oh, that's down. I don't have to go. Joseph and Mary trusted that God knew exactly what he was doing, and they were okay with that. Don't you find that interesting? So it's easy for me to look at their life and say, watch this. Isn't that just so wonderful? Isn't that just wonderful that Jesus came into this world? And we think, oh, and we fall in love with that aspect. And I am glad that Jesus came just as God said. Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But sometimes we forget that he did come, and he came specifically, and he came through the life of Mary and the life of Joseph, and it impacted their life. It impacted their life to the point where, well, watch this, scandal. What do you mean, scandal? Can you imagine what went on in Mary's town where she lived? One said, hey, Mary, she's pregnant, and she's with Joseph, and they haven't even really been married yet. And now she's walking around in the marketplace doing the waddle. Yeah, there she is. Right? Because not everybody bought into the idea that she was gonna be the handmaid of the Lord, right? Now, I'm sure there were people who did. I know that Zacharias and Elizabeth did, right? Because Zacharias, he couldn't even talk about it. Because he didn't believe. Can you imagine? Now, listen to this. Do you realize this? What happens if every time we don't believe something, we couldn't talk? Be an awful lot of quiet people, right? I'll get up some Sunday and just, how come you're not talking, Pastor? I get a chalkboard right on it. Because I didn't believe God. Oh, yeah. See, that's what Zacharias did. And it wasn't until he wrote on a slate, his name shall be, what is it? John. Boom. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. He waited 9 months to say that. So Joseph and Mary trusted that God knew exactly what he was doing, and they were okay with that. In everything that took place, the Bible says they thought about it. Mary pondered these things in her heart. Joseph marveled. They sat and they thought about it. How about our lives? Am I willing to sit and ponder what God is doing in my life? You say, that's in the Christmas story. That's in the Christmas story, front and center, if I'm willing to look at it. See, a lot of times what we want is to say, oh, I want to have a great life. I want to have a great life. Oh, I want to be happy. I want to be this. And so, watch this. Okay, ladies, if you want to be happy, you want to ride a donkey when you're 8 months and so many days, 27 days pregnant. Okay, I'm praising God. Hallelujah. Right? Or do you think maybe I've got it wrong? And here's Joseph. He's saying, oh, man. Because as we see later on, is I'm sure that when they ended up in that stable, that Joseph didn't say, I bet you he went and looked for a midwife somewhere. Don't you? He went and got some kind of medical. See, we think they were all barbarians. And I'm sure he rustled up some grub. He took the donkey and he rode through the drive-thru at Burger King. Hey, I got these coupons. Now, do you have anything with the salad in? Because that's what Mary wants. Not me. I want the triple whopper. Can I have the triple whopper? Right? See, I'm sure he rustled up some grub. Now, but see, you know what they did? They were okay with what God was doing. You say, well, why? Why do you see that? Well, because the Bible says that they pondered. She reflected. And that attitude from the minute the angel appeared to her in chapter 1, that attitude permeated her life. She was reflecting on what God had done. That doesn't mean that her life did not have circumstances that were undesirable, that didn't have some pain, didn't have some inconvenience. Let me ask you something. Does your life have any inconvenience today? Well, he said, yeah, I came to church today. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to come to church today, too. Can you imagine that? But how about this? Does your life have any inconvenience then? Oh, my. You think about how frail life is. And a lot of times we think, okay, we're strong, we're in control. And that's what Carson Moyer thought. I talked to him just a couple weeks ago, and he got hit by a car in Freeburg, and as far as I know, he went home to be with the Lord on Thursday. 76 years old. That's way too young. Don't you think that's way too young? Oh, yeah. Now, watch this. Number two is this. We say, here's what it is. Joseph and Mary, they trusted God knew exactly what he was doing, and they were okay with that. How did that happen? Where did that come from? How in the world did they get to that point in their life? Because a lot of times, if we're not careful, here's what we do. We sit around, and you know, did you ever watch these talk shows sometimes? I don't watch a lot of them, but sometimes I do watch them, and everybody seems to always have the answer. And you listen to these people, oh, I got it all figured out. I just wish I could see them 5 years from now. Because they don't have it all figured out. But how did Joseph and Mary do that? Number two is this. Their relationship with God enabled them to rise above their circumstances. See, the fact that they trusted God with everything that took place in their life. See, they didn't sit down and say, I can hear Mary say, as they're riding down the donkey, I know, Joseph, this isn't perfect, but you know what? It's going to be better tomorrow. Really? Now watch this. She has to travel back with a baby just after having a baby. True? You got that? That's interesting. I showed my slides from Africa on Sunday night, and it was interesting. When we got to the picture of the clinic, I talked about an incident that happened while we were there. Actually, we saw that the light was on very late at night, and sure enough, a lady from the village in the proximity had a baby, 3 o'clock in the morning. The doctor came down, delivered the baby. Her and her husband walked in. They don't have any vehicles. See, we can't understand that. Because we all have vehicles, right? We have to, you know, and as the church grows here, it's interesting because what we ought to have is an award for the person who parked the farthest away, right? But it's all free parking there because there's no vehicles, okay? And she had the baby, and then they left. And she walked home after having the baby. It's just like, ladies, I tell you, I'm in a loss here. I've never had a baby. If I do, it's going to be a scientific miracle. But watch this. I doubt whether you would want to walk from Seals Grove to either Evan or Sunbury Community Hospital, have your baby, and walk home same night, right? Got it? Yeah, a couple of might. But their relationship with God enabled them to rise above their circumstances. And see, this was their secret. A is this. It produced peace. You know, everybody says, Pastor, how can I have peace? What's your relationship like with God? They didn't try to figure everything out. You know what they did? Let's go back to number one. They trusted that God knew exactly what he was doing. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand my circumstances. Problem is I think we do to a certain extent. God is working in all of our lives right now. Amen? It produced peace. That's what the Bible says. And the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah. And you say, well, Pastor, why don't I have peace? Well, then if I understand the Word of God, it is in direct relationship to my it is in direct proportion to my relationship with God. See, I heard years ago when we were up at Bakerburg, a family down the road had a fire. And so the deacon said, let's take $100 down. Deacon's fund money. They weren't part of the church. They were just part of the community. And so I delivered a check for $100. Just no strings attached. Just said, hey, we want to help you out. I know that it didn't devastate the whole place, but they had to have some work done. I'm sure they had some insurance, but it helped with some of the things. They started coming to church for a couple weeks. And I can remember we were standing there waiting in line for a fellowship dinner. And I know this guy yet today, and I talk to him whenever we're in the area. He says to me, you know, now that I'm going to church, my life is going to be much better. See, that's what we think a lot of times. If we come to church, we're going to have a happy life. Right? And what happens is this is, all we have to do is look around, and the same things that happen to everybody happen to Christians also. I remember when I started work at, when I went to Bible college, I started work at a place called, a little aluminum foundry called Trialco. Well, that doesn't mean anything to you, but Trialco was a startup aluminum foundry that rented the corner of the huge Benjamin Harris foundry that was in operation for 100 years, hired hundreds of employees that went bankrupt. And it was at that time in my life where I started to think, wow, you know what? They hired some of those employees in this startup company. They lost their retirement. They lost all their years of service. They lost everything. And then I started to ask myself this question. How many Christians worked for that foundry that had to live through that also? You know, when we hear about stuff happening around our world, droughts, do we realize that there's Christians that live in those areas too? They're going through exactly the same thing that everybody does. How do they get by? It's their relationship with the Lord, the peace that He gives. Okay? And so, we see also, what did it produce? It produced joy. They saw this rejoicing going on around them, and the joy wasn't because of them, because you have to realize this, Jesus came in humble surroundings. When they went to the temple, and we read it, and I didn't read to the point where it said his name was Simeon, but when they went to the temple to offer their offering, they offered the offering of a poor person. But they still had joy. Too many times our joy is tied to our bank accounts, to our whatever funds that we have, and we sit there and we say, oh, I hope the stock market does okay. And so we listen to the radio, and you know, you hear stuff on the radio. I'll tell you what, something really bad's going to happen. So, you know, we want you to spend your money at our place because if things go bad, if you buy what we got, it'll never go bad, right? And you say, well, that's joy. Right? You know what it is? It's all smoke and mirrors. It's illusions that we
if we're not careful, we trust in. Joseph and Mary could have done the same thing. But looking at this facet of their life, they were in a stable. Now, if you want to know what a stable smells like, that any you can go out in the country around here anywhere and just walk in. There's barns all over the place. And so, like, I'm sure that that one was one that was washed clean because Jesus was going to be born there. Right? The crew was just in there the day before, and they steam cleaned it, they disinfected it, and they whitewashed it because Jesus was going to be born. See, Joseph knew that, and he sent ahead. That's in the original. Right? That's in the Greek. And now, the last time I checked, sometimes when you have animals in a barn, I knew farmers that went to Bakerburg that they had to do the barn work and then they had to go get their shower because if not, the barn came to church. Right? Gary, do you have barn shoes? Huh? Yeah, you have barn shoes, don't you? Oh, yeah. And if you want to wear them tonight, you can come on back tonight. Gary's going to wear his barn shoes. Okay? Yeah, I had to do that because I can see him a little bit, but I can't see his facial expression. I didn't want him back there going, yeah. Because I got a meeting Tuesday night with him. And it could be brutal, you know. One of the times he calls me on the phone. He said, hey, how come you're not at the meeting? Oh, I forgot I had a meeting. Did you ever forget that? I'm sorry, Gary. I hope I remember Tuesday night. 7:30, right? No, 6:30. I'm just... Okay, then see is this. What did it produce in their life? Their relationship with God not only enabled them. Took that thing off of there. Now I got to read it off of here. Enabled them to rise above their circumstances. It produced peace. It produced joy. Watch this. It produced obedience. Now think about that. What a step of obedience for Mary to say, be it unto me, I'm a handmaid of the Lord. What a step of obedience it was for Joseph to say, okay, God, I trust you. Right? What a step of obedience. Do you know why Christians struggle with obedience? Same way they always have. We think that we're something special, we're something new. When our relationship with God is not that trusting relationship, you know what we're going to try to do? We're going to try to work things out ourselves. And that's what happens. We try to work things out ourselves. And you know, did you ever hear this phrase? Work as though it all depends on you, and pray as though it all depends upon God, right? Most of the time, we work as though it all depends on you, and we just forget about the prayer because we're too busy working or we're too tired from working. Amen? And God said all along, you know what he wants? He goes, I want you to obey me. And look at what obedience cost them. A trip on a donkey. Right? A manger as a bassinet. Correct? Now you know what? Here's the thing. Let's look at our lives. Are we willing to obey God? Now I'm not talking about you obeying a preacher with some kind of quirky idea. You know, Jim Jones takes a bunch of people down and says, let's all drink the Kool-Aid. Right? Remember that? You younger people won't remember that, but the older folks here will. Oh, yeah, they walk around, whatever Jim Jones says, I'm going to do it. And you know what the most dangerous thing for any church is where you say, well, that's what my pastor said, and that's what I believe. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be searching God's word and obedience spring from your heart because you have a right relationship with him. Amen? Now, if this happens to be what the pastor says, that's okay. But it ought to be because we have a right relationship with God. That's in the Christmas story. Then D is this. It produced focus. You say, well, what are you talking about? Their lives were focused. And what were they focused on? Notice what they were doing. And I'm going to picture this in my mind. Here they are. They're sitting there. And the Bible says they marveled. That means their focus had to be on something other than themselves. Too much of the time, our lives, we're just focused on ourselves. We get up every day. Well, how do I feel? I remember. Rich, you won't remember this because you were pretty much out of the house by the time. We used to sit downstairs in the morning, and Mom would sit there. And my mom was not a morning person, right, Rich? My brother's here. Of course, he wouldn't know because he was gone. Okay? And it was, you know, I'm
I'm the oldest of the bottom three. He's the youngest of the top three. So he doesn't know nothing. I shouldn't even have said anything. Okay? But he is my brother. Brother by birth, but also a brother in the Lord. Okay, so he ain't worth nothing today. He doesn't know anything I'm talking about. But anyways. I love you, brother. I love you. Who's he sitting next to there? Sitting next to Carly. Okay, now. Well, I'm pretty hard on him, you know. He's really hard on me. So anyways. Mom would sit there, and my youngest brother, Pink, would be sitting there. And he said, Mom would be sitting there, and we're getting ready for school. And she's not a morning person. And we're sitting there, not saying a word around the table. She looked at Pink. Would you like a glass of orange juice? And Pink, he says this. How do I know if I want a glass of orange juice? Okay? Oh, yeah. See, there's some mornings I get up, I can't even focus on myself because I don't know who I am. I go in the mirror and I look. And then you get downstairs, you get that first cup of coffee, and then you start coming around. And you know, what it is, too many times we're focused on ourselves. You get up, you know, oh man, my arm hurts. I was sharing some things with somebody this week. But anyways, we had this coworker back at Wood Mode. Maybe I said this in the message. I don't think I did. I'll have to listen to the message. But anyways. His name was Bobby. And we were just all, I was probably 21, 22 years old. And so he comes into work, and just the whole department was just all young guys because they'd done a pretty big expansion. And he came in, and I said to him one day, I said, hey, Bobby. Yeah. Man, you're really looking pale today. He didn't look pale or nothing. I just said, hey, Bobby. You're really looking pale today. And I got all the other guys, one at a time, throughout the day, to say, are you feeling all right, Bob? By 9:30, he went home sick from work. That's true. I saw it work. It's wonderful. I tell you the guy's name, but you call him and say, I hate that Dave Dress leaving yet today. You know what happens? We get in the morning, oh, my arm hurts. Oh, and don't get me wrong, it does hurt. Well, what am I going to choose to focus on? Oh, I got a headache. Yeah, my wife has had a headache for 40 years. It's me. And there's not a pill big enough to get rid of it. Amen? Right, honey? Hallelujah. She's been waiting 40 years to say that. See, we're talking about anniversaries today, so we can talk about it. What's your focus? Their focus. She, you know, Mary's focus could be, I know it's going to be better. We're not going to be here. You know what she did? She took the moment and rejoiced in what God was doing in her life. What God did in her life did not bring financial gain to them. As a matter of fact, they ended up, now, when you read about the Magi coming, when Jesus is a child and in a house then, they had to flee for their lives, and God provided for them the necessary finances to do that through the gifts of the Magi. But you know what? Their day-by-day life was the fact they focused on what God was doing. That's it. And they were trusting God in all of it, that God knew what he was doing. And watch this. They weren't wanting God to change it. They were okay with it. Be it unto me, Mary said. So she said. So what happens is we fast forward now to whatever year it is, 2015. See, you didn't think I knew that. I just dazzle you with all of my brilliance here. But you know what? Is that the same focus that we have today? Christ? Are we willing to say to God, God, I don't understand everything in my life, but I'm okay with it because I'm trusting you. That's all. That comes out of the Christmas dialogue. I think it's there. And what I want us to see is they took time to recognize God working in their life. Yep, that's it. They took time to recognize God working in their life.
And it wasn't the fact that somebody showed up at the manger with the Big Mac box. Two Big Macs, two cheeseburgers, 10 chicken nuggets, and fries. No drinks, though. Right? See, I know all that stuff. No, but what they did is these people showed up that nobody cared about. The shepherds. I don't, you know, what would you say is an entry-level job in our culture? See, that's the politically correct way of saying a job nobody wants, right? They would have been the ones to show up. How can you get excited about a handful of shepherds showing up? It's what they said. Because they were focused on what God was doing. And they were rejoicing. I think if we're not careful, we want to believe for what it brings in our life. And that's not what God says. We should obey and trust God, knowing that when I obey, it's going to cost me something. That when I obey, it's going to demand of my life. That's what it is. And I think that if we're not careful, some of the things that we're afraid for in our world is the fact that we might be called upon. Because all this stuff is happening in other parts of the world. But now we're seeing a challenge to our faith right here. Not necessarily with people with guns and bombs, but people standing up saying, why do you believe what you believe? And so number three is this. What Joseph and Mary displayed was contentment. And that's what the message comes down to. A contentment that just I can remember, and I think I said this the other week. I think I did. But I got to say it again. We got on the airplane to fly to Africa, and it was Ethiopian Air. And when we got in the air, we were in the air a couple hours. And I told Karen, I said, well, I'm going to go up and see if they have a deck of cards here. We're going to play war. You ever play war? You play 31? So I went up and asked the stewardess. I said, you wouldn't happen to, because on South African Air they did, and I got a deck of cards from them. This is years ago. So I got a deck, I said to her, I said, can I have a deck of cards? She said, sir, why don't you just go back to your seat and go to sleep? She wanted me to be content with just sitting in that seat and falling asleep. And so Joseph and Mary, they displayed contentment. And you know what that contentment was based in? Not in finding something busy for them to do. It was because they were focused on what God was doing in their life. And it produced that contentment. Now, who in the world would ever venture on preaching on contentment during the Christmas shopping season? Wow. Because if anything, it's just like, I want. My grandson is just, he's classic. He sits there, watches TV, and Karen will be out in the kitchen making him a peanut butter sandwich, and this is all we've heard for the last month. I want that for Christmas. I took him down to see the trains last night at the mall. Larry, were you down the mall yet? Don't go down, because you'll just pass out. They have this huge train set up in the outside of Boscos. And it is, I sat there and just went, and Blake, he sat there, and a guy came up, listen to this, I got the compliment of a lifetime. He said, sir, you know that we're giving away a free train set. Did you sign your son up? All right. I know Blake looked a little older, 4 years old, but he don't look 14 years old. I'm sitting there, and you know what? I left him go. I just reveled in the moment. I said, all right. I signed him up. I got the ticket right here. And I'm hoping they call. I got lost again. And so, you know what? Here we are in the Christmas season. And I'm preaching on stuff that, as we look at it, it doesn't make sense to our world today. But you know, when we apply the scriptures in our life, what happens is we reap the benefit of the scriptures in our life. I'm not wanting you to look for contentment in anything around you, because you know what? You can't find it. You got to find that in your relationship with God. That's what it's talking about. Let me see. Did I get everything done here? Is there one more? We're at the end? Got them all filled in? I lost my handout sheet. It's here somewhere. Oh, here it is, right here. Yes. So, as we take some time this month and look at the birth of Christ, you'd think after 15 years I'd be a little more organized than this, okay? Karen, you got to start doing better on the sermons for me so that I can get them before I get in the car. But as we investigate the birth of Christ, we are going to be looking at some wonderful facets. This first one, life lessons. Am I willing to focus? Or will I focus on the circumstances around me? Depends who I focus on, whether or not I have the peace, the joy, the obedience. That's what it comes down to. Well, let's pray.